it's been found, according to studies, that when black orphans are adopted by white families, it raises their IQ. They have higher IQ than other black children. So this shows you that IQ is not significantly genetic. It shows you that IQ is environmentally malleable. No, it doesn't. Hello, 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 and welcome to the decision of a quick pint. Now, unfortunately, sometimes rather intelligent and thoughtful people have a habit of saying really rather misleading things about IQ. And there is no better example of this, I'm afraid, than one Thomas Sowell, who is an elderly African-American sociologist, who quite a lot of you actually said to be rather like and would like me to have on this show. But there is a recent interview called Consequences Matter, Thomas Sowell on Social Justice Fallacies, Uncommon Knowledge, put out by the Hoover Institute, in which I'm afraid he is allowed to get away with nonsense about the issue of IQ. He does have some good things to say, some rather interesting things to say, but on the issue of IQ, I'm afraid it really is terribly misleading. The first thing is with regard to race differences in IQ. Now, race differences in IQ are one of the most consistent and replicated findings in psychological literature. There is, it's been found again and again and again, that among adult samples, the average IQ of whites, if that's set at 100, then the average IQ of African Americans is 85, and the average IQ of Northeast Asian Americans is about 105, something like that. These are consistent differences across time, and they don't really change, which would, of course, be congruous with them being partly genetic in nature. There are interesting differences among the black population, by the way, among the Northern American blacks, who are on average seem to have higher white admixture. The average IQ is about 90, and among the Southern African Americans, it's about 80, where there is much less white admixture. So that's quite interesting. But this is what he says. He says that did you know it's been found, according to studies, that when black orphans are adopted by white families, it raises their IQ. They have higher IQ than other black children. So this shows you that IQ is not significantly genetic. It shows you that IQ is environmentally malleable. No, it doesn't. It shows you that IQ is not completely genetic. That's what it shows you. If it was an entirely environmental issue, then if the average IQ of whites was 100 and the average IQ of blacks was 85, then you would find that on average, a black child that was adopted into a white family would end up not with an IQ of 85, but with an IQ of 100 in adulthood. What these studies actually find, these interracial adoption studies, is that the average IQ of the black children who are adopted by white families is about 89. So it's slightly higher than the average IQ of black people, i.e. black people that are raised by black families and raised among blacks. Now, what that is consistent with is the idea that the IQ difference between blacks and whites is very heavily genetic in origin, but it can be the IQ can be raised a little bit by a highly intellectually stimulating environment, which is more likely to be achieved among white families. That's what that shows. It certainly doesn't show that IQ differences between races are overwhelmingly environmental in nature. Moreover, it's quite interesting that the kind of people that adopt black children, they don't have an IQ of 100. They have an IQ of 100, about 115, something like that. They tend to be upper middle class families. But yet the average IQ of the blacks that have been adopted by these families that have an IQ of maybe 115 is about 89. So it's actually extremely close to the average IQ of blacks, which is 85. And indeed, it's about the same as the average IQ of blacks in the northern states, which is 90. So this doesn't show you that environment is responsible for these differences at all. If anything, it demonstrates that it is very, very substantially genetics that is responsible for this. Take black people out of a black environment, put them in a white environment, and they still have something very close to the black average IQ. Now, the second thing he notes is, Jews used to score low on IQ tests and now they score high. So doesn't this tell you that there's some problem with the IQ test? And even he has to admit, no, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. When Jews were first taking IQ tests in America in about 1917, their native language was Yiddish or some other language. It wasn't English. So they were taking IQ tests in a foreign language. And IQ tests have a substantial linguistic component. So it says nothing about the rising or falling of Jewish IQ, that they do much better now than they did in 1917. In 1917, they were taking the tests in a foreign language, so they were meaningless. The next thing he starts talking about is the malleability of IQ, that IQ is highly environmental and not substantially genetically determined, and here are some reasons. And one of the examples he gives is that in World War I, Black soldiers were scoring significantly below whites on the IQ test. But then he says that there was some evidence that blacks from New York had a higher IQ than whites from Mississippi. So this surely shows you that there's some environmental factor. That there's some environmental factor going on here. The blacks move away from Mississippi and their IQ goes up. That doesn't follow at all. Who are the kind of blacks? What predicts migration? What predicts having the ability? What predicts having the resources? What predicts having the future orientation and the desire to plan? What predicts migration? The answer is intelligence. So obviously the blacks that are going to move from Mississippi to New York are going to be significantly more intelligent than the blacks that stay behind, and indeed perhaps even significantly more intelligent than the whites that stay behind, in a context where there's a difference on average of about a standard deviation between the two. Highly intelligent blacks are going to leave Mississippi, which is one of the lowest IQ states for whites, and they're going to go north and settle in New York. So it says nothing at all about race differences in IQ that the blacks in New York have a higher IQ than whites in Mississippi. Why wouldn't they? That's not unexpected at all. The next thing that he fails to understand is the Flynn effect. He argues that the Flynn effect is showing basically that IQ is going up, that intelligence is going up. And of course, that's not what it shows at all. It doesn't show that the IQ is going up. The nature of the Flynn effect is that the IQ instrument, the IQ test, is an imperfect measure of intelligence, of general intelligence. That there is a pyramid that we can conceive of intelligence, and at the base there are specialized abilities, very narrow abilities like spotting patterns and things like this. And then above that there are the three main forms of intelligence: linguistic, spatial, and mathematical. And they all intercorrelate. So above that then is general intelligence. Which is highly genetic in nature. Now, the IQ test is not a perfect measurer of G, so the result, it measures these other things, these specialised abilities. And this means that if these specialised abilities are going up very, very quickly, very, very quickly, then it could potentially overwhelm everything else that's happening on the IQ test, i.e. evidence of intelligence going down, and it could come across as an IQ rise, even though on all other proxies, intelligence is going down, because it is. And that's the nature of an imperfect instrument. And so that's what seems to have happened with the Flynn effect, that a particular specialised ability, i.e. pattern spotting, via living in an increasingly scientific society, is pushed to its phenotypic maximum possible level very quickly, resulting each generation in a seeming to become higher in IQ on these IQ tests. Eventually, this reaches its phenotypic maximum, and when that happens, we would expect the underlying genuine intelligence fall to poke through even on the IQ tests, and that is indeed what we see from the cohort born in the late 1970s onwards. And moreover, there is evidence that this fall is on G, i.e. it is on the most genetically mediated IQ subtests, because some IQ subtests being good at them is strongly to do with environment. Some IQ subtests being good at them is strongly genetic. It's strongly inherited. It's the genetic ones where we're in decline. It's driving the decline, the negative Flynn effect, or at least there is some evidence for that. And so what he's saying about the nature of the Flynn effect is nonsense, though he does raise some interesting points about the idea that everything that's causing black low socioeconomic status in America is to do with racism. He says, well, if it's all to do with racism, then why is it that the racism doesn't affect blacks that are married? If it's all to do with racism, then why is it doesn't affect Northeast Asian Americans? They are, in fact, richer than white Americans on average. How can that possibly be the case? If it's all to do with racism, then why is it that what he calls the hillbillies, people that live in the Appalachians, they are very, very similar to blacks, not only in their IQ, but in their IQ profile, i.e. they start off about average intelligence and then they become less intelligent with reference to their cohort with age, which is exactly what happens with blacks. So they have never experienced racism. So there must be some other explanation. And that's quite interesting. But he doesn't seem to like the idea of a genetic explanation, because he says, well, the fact that these hillbillies go down with age like this is showing you that it's biological, that it's social what's causing it. Whatever's causing it is social, it's not biological. Well, that's not true, because you could have a fast life history strategy, which would mean that you were reasonably intelligent at a young age with reference to others of your own age, because you're growing up quickly. So you're clever for your age, but you peak earlier. And then others simply overtake you. And that could be a biological strategy. That could be a fast life history strategy. And that's what you see with blacks. Black people are not only, relative to white people, more intelligent when they are younger. So the difference between blacks and whites is smaller when blacks are younger, because blacks are essentially more intelligent when they are younger. but they are also more physically developed. They learn to walk at an earlier age. All the milestones are passed at an earlier age. And it may be that that's true of working class children as well, to the extent that class is highly genetic, which it is. And so actually it is a biological explanation, which explains both why black IQ is relative to white not that different at a young age, and also why that process occurs with what Sauer calls hillbillies as well. So anyway, I just thought one's attention needed to be drawn to this. This is him. This is a man who a lot of people respect, Thomas Sowell, saying things about IQ differences that are wrong. I think it's reasonable to address those issues where he's wrong, and I think he makes some good points about racism not being the cause of everything when he's right.
Are you ready for the future of the West?